Hi guys, these are the worst date movies ever. My name is Greg Knox and I'm joined for a third time by Mr. Tom Dennett Cook.
Hi Greg, thanks for having me on.
Yes.
For this.
Yeah. So it's really, really cold. We're both really tired. We're both kind of under the weather. But I've been perked up, certainly, by the film we're going to talk about on this show.
Yeah, you know what's good for your health? What really gets you back to normal?
Yeah. Oh, good. So before I introduce the film, what I should say is, obviously, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show wherever you choose to listen to it. And, you know, hit me up on Twitter at Worst Date Movies. Now, the film, I have to be serious. This is, to me, in a bizarre way, a really fun film. But I have to be kind of serious because this film that we're going to talk about on the show, it comes under the exploitation subgenre of Nazi-sploitation. So these films are made, very obviously bad exploitative films made about kind of the Germans during World War II, their exploits and things like that. And I should stress, for the record, not that I shouldn't have to do this, but you know what the modern world's like. I am not a Nazi. I do not have any, I do not support any far-right ideologies. And Tom, I'm assuming you are the same.
Yeah. So before, it'd be great if you asked me and I went, well, Hitler had some ideas. No, I do like how you made Nazi exploitation an exploit. So like it's the same thing. Like this is a jaunt into World War II. No, I'm not a Nazi either. I actually think, I've said this before, I think actual Nazis would hate these films because the Nazis are not painted nice in these films.
No, they're really not. So, Tom, anyone who's listened to The Lament Configuration, myself, Andrea, had you on to basically talk about three Nazi exploitation video Nazis.
Kind of a thing.
Video nasties, even. But yeah, and the one that I didn't have you on, but I, you know, we covered at the time, although fuck it, it's my show, I don't care, I want to do it again, is The Beast in Heat.
Yes, you guys covered it under a different category.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to talk about it then.
No, absolutely. I mean, you did kind of briefly talk about it when we had you on the other Nazi exploitation show, but yeah, you didn't really get
it's
that much of a chance.
One of the more infamous ones. Definitely one of the least fun ones, which is a weird thing to say about a genre as you describe primarily, you know, horrible torture films and concentration camps. To say the least fun of them means it's pretty fucking foul. But anyway.
Yeah. So, as I said, this film is The Beast in Heat. Now, like a lot of these exploitation films, it's got many alternative titles.
Yep.
So SS Hell Camp, which I believe it's called in this country, or in America rather. SS Experiment Camp 2, randomly. And my favourite, Horrifying Experiments of SS Last Days.
You know what, I think the reason why most people go with The Beast in Heat is, as we've said before, particularly on when I came on The Lemon Configuration, is a lot of these films have basically the same title. They're like SS Love Camp, SS Experiment Camp, Love Camp 7, Experiment Love Camp 7.
Women's Love Camp number 9,
it's
or
whatever.
It's
very difficult. So calling it The Beast in Heat is probably the best. Everyone knows that film, even, you know, well, anyone who knows exploitation cinema, that name stands out.
Yeah. And this is directed by Luigi Batzella under the alias Ivan Katansky. Not his only Nazi exploitation film. He has another one called Achtung, the Desert Tigers, which is a great name.
That's a fucking great name.
Somehow worse than this. Even it's just more boring. I've seen it. I did watch a few Nazi exploitation films for
Partisans and No Experiments.
Yeah, it is basically, it's like
a
proper war film, which is not really what you want. That's kind of, a bit boring. So, Tom, for the benefit of the audience, obviously, look, apart from obviously the Nazi stuff, obviously, there's going to be spoilers because we're going to spoil the absolute shit out of this. So just be wary. What is the story of The Beast in Heat?
Fuck knows.
exactly.
But if I had to guess, based on the multiple times I've tried to understand the story, there appears to be two stories happening at the same time. One is about a group of partisans, specifically a guy in there who's basically a pacifist, who is a partisan that doesn't want to kill Nazis. So he kind of blows up railways after the trains have gone by so that he doesn't kill anyone on the munitions trains, for example. So it's about partisans dealing with the Nazis hunting them down. Whilst at the same time, there is a standard Nazi exploitation film happening of people being tortured under the guise of Nazi super experiments. And somehow these two things come together because the scientist in charge of the experiments is also put in charge of hunting down the partisans. Because I don't know how a scientist ends up taking on that role, but these two storylines come together.
Yeah, very, very, very vaguely. Now, before we kind of talk about the film itself, I have to ask you, because, you know, we've had you on, you know, I've done these different shows with you,
yeah,
where we do talk about the Nazis, and, you know, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but there is a yes. fascination on your part. I'm trying to be sort of, you know, I'm not trying to make out go that on, you're Greg. A secret Nazi or anything like that. What is it about Nazi, well, World War Two,
yeah,
really? It's just World War Two, isn't it?
Yeah,
more well, than just Nazis.
Yeah, you don't just one day start watching Nazi exploitation films. Mm. For me, I was always interested in history, World War II history, just a fan of modern history.
Yeah.
And I was also a fan of cinema. So you start watching war movies. That's a, you know, Where Eagles Dare, things like that.
Mm.
A lot of these films are historically inaccurate. So I just got curious as to how historically inaccurate films, World War II films, could get. And at one end of the scale, there's quite innocent stuff like Indiana Jones and Bedknobs and Broomsticks, where the Nazis are in it. And then at the other end of the scale, you have things like Shockwaves and Ilsa, where the Nazis are these sadomasochists or zombies.
Mm.
And the one thing that connects all these films, for me, that I find fascinating, is that the Nazis seem to be the ultimate cinematic villain. Like, they're, you know, if you, zombies aren't scary, but if you make them Nazi zombies, they become evil, you know. It's almost like the next stage of evil is to make something Nazis, or to stick Nazis in your film. Like I said, with Bedknobs and Broomsticks, it's not enough that all the events happen in that film. There has to be a Nazi invasion at the end of the film.
Or Sound of Music as well.
And Sound of Music, yeah. It's, you know, so I've always just been intrigued as to how universal they are as villains, and then looking into as far as you can go with that. And perhaps The Beast in Heat, to bring things back, is as far as you can go with that. But all these Nazi exploitation films fit into that sort of pattern of the ultimate cinematic villain being the Nazi.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Yeah. Now, this film, it's quite interesting. What I was going to say is, so a couple of years before this came out, so this came out in 1977, I believe.
Right.
1975, this film, Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS, comes out. Now, to me, this is, in a lot of ways, a pretty blatant rip-off of that.
Yes.
Would you not agree?
The main Fraulein in this, the one running the camp, not camp, in this, she's, well, God knows what she's running in this, but the main German scientist in this, she's blatantly an Ilsa
clone
knockoff,
yeah.
Except in this, she's way more sexualized. Like, she's definitely more up for it.
Yeah,
Ilsa seemed to not really be herself sexual until she falls in love with the American guy. I mean, that's a different film entirely. Whereas the German scientist in this, she's just constantly randy. She's always
pretty much.
Just,
yeah,
it's very unusual. It's very bizarre. But
yeah, absolutely, incredibly, incredibly, incredibly bizarre. Yeah. Now, yeah, I was going to say, one of the things about this film, because obviously we've talked about other Nazi exploitation films on shows. Mm-hmm. Now, difference between this and, you know, Gestapo's Last Orgy, SS Experiment Camp, Lub Camp 7, is there is no camp, per se. So
that's why they dropped the camp title.
Yeah, it just, they just, there's some weird Nazi sort of base of some sort.
Yeah, where are they? They're just in a chateau or a village or a castle or just somewhere.
Yeah, so that in itself is kind of different from like the other sort of similar films that came out in this period.
And those other films also, they, you know, the people being experimented on are therefore camp prisoners or whatever prisoners. This is just random people they've gathered up.
Yeah.
They just gather up random old women or partisans or the sons of partisans.
Yeah. This one is the only film that I'm aware of, at least that I've seen, one of the only Nazi exploitation films that doesn't have Jewish characters in it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Gustavus Lost Orgy, it's clearly Jewish women.
Yeah.
I think in the other two, well, Love Camp 7, it's some of the women are Jewish, or are they all Jewish? I can't
off the top of my head, I think they're meant to be all Jewish.
Yeah. SS Experiment Camp, it's undertones that they're Jews, but it's not explicitly said that they're Jewish women. They're doing these weird experiments on involving like high, you know, sex in water tanks and stuff like that.
I think this is one of the few where it's more to do with the war than it is to do with just the world of camps, you know.
Yeah, which is interesting because, I don't know, like, I don't know how you, well, you don't like this film, really.
No,
do
I don't.
Okay, I don't, it's a shit film. I find it very entertaining, but it is shit. Do you think the fact that what clearly Batzeller has tried to do is try and make it more of like an actual war film and still have those kind of experiments in there, it kind of feels like two different films having a fight?
Yes.
Really? It's very weird.
Pretty much hit the nail on the head. That's not the only reason I don't like it, but that is a big thing, is the two elements don't gel together.
Mm.
They probably could in better hands or with a bigger budget or whatever, but it's just, yeah, it just, the juxtaposition between one scene and then the other, there'll be the beast in heat doing his thing in the cage, people being tortured, and the next thing, partisans in the wood discussing trains. And you're just like, what? What's happening? What's the connection? Why am I, I'm not prepared for the next scene, you know?
Yeah. But the main reason that this film just doesn't work is because it's really, really inept. That's kind of how I would put it. So, for example, the music in this film is absolutely horrendous. The opening title music just to me sounds like bad 80s Mega Drive music. It's like dun, 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 or like that, basically.
Now you mentioned the opening titles, can we just please acknowledge, as we said we were going to, the weird use of colour? So instead of a standard swastika, like a black swastika on a white, red background, it's a pink swastika on a blue background. Who the hell designed that? It doesn't make any sense.
It's amazing.
But in terms of the music, weirdly, the music, I think, potentially could be the best part of this. Mm. It has that weird synthy sound. When I say the best part, that is not to say it's good music.
No.
It's just that probably lets people know how bad the rest is. But yeah, the music is weird.
Yeah.
I know I keep saying weird, but it's very difficult to talk about this film.
Yeah. Well, okay. And as well as that, now, on the last show with Scott Priestley, our friend, shout out to Scott. We watched a film where you can watch it in English dubbed, or you can watch it in its original language subtitled. And I mentioned, like, normally with films not in the English language, you want to avoid the dubbed version because it's a bit cheesy. It sort of makes the films a bit silly, even when they're not meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the option with this film.
No, we did not.
But
and we suffered.
It's one of these films you're probably better off watching it in its dubbed version, because the dubbing in this is absolutely hilarious. It sounds like two or three people have done all the dubbing.
Potentially.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It's that amazing dubbing where it's almost as if the people haven't seen the film. They're just reading in a booth, just straight off the sheet without having seen the film.
Yeah.
There's the amazing, our favourite dubbing, the head of the partisans, who sounds like a sort of someone doing a John Wayne impression, like a sort of, hey, what do you want, mountain there, and you keep an eye, the Germans are going to be coming, and you're like, if you're going to choose somebody to dub, i.e. to express what the listener would not understand normally, why have you chosen someone that nobody can understand?
Exactly.
How cheap is your budget that you can only afford people with speech impediments to do the dubbing?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the Nazi officers, they'll talk like this.
And what I love, and this film is not the only film guilty of it, but whenever there's dubbing in a film and people start screaming or shouting, they insist on dubbing the screaming and shouting as well, as if there's different language barriers for screaming. Just so you get people going, hey, like really lacklustre screams of agony. It just...
my favourite, which again we'll talk about this in more detail later, yeah. where like the woman getting her nails pulled off, where it's like, oh, you are hurting me.
Yeah, stop, you're hurting me. As if they're going to go, oh Jesus, stop the torture, stop the torture. Oh, we're hurting this poor lady.
Yeah. Oh Christ.
Yeah, that's a great line.
Yeah. Other things. The beast of the title is this
the beast which is in heat. In apparently. Heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
This short hairy man in a cage. At different points, like the bars wobble. It's clearly not like iron.
The whole fucking beast in heat thing is one of the most irritating and morally repugnant, I have to say.
Yeah.
Part of this film. So. In terms of why I don't like this film, and this will sound completely hypocritical or paradoxical, but even by Nazi exploitation standards, and as we've expressed so far, a lot of these films are set in concentration camps and involve sexualized experiments. Most people are probably going to think these films are already morally already morally repugnant.
Pretty
but
much.
In this, the whole beast in heat, who essentially there's extended scenes of him raping women. I just find very difficult to watch. I guess you're supposed to, and in which case it's done its job, but they're just going for too long. They don't serve a purpose. And I'm not sure whether is this meant to be a sort of torture porn experience for me? Am I supposed to be? Because a lot of the time these kinds of films are made for people with Nazi-esque fetishes, fascist fetishes or S&M fetishes.
Mm.
So I get why a lot of these films are like, I get why Ilsa is a turn on for some people or was designed to be. This film, if you're turned on by the beast in heat,
yeah,
I find it's basically almost rape fantasy porn.
Pretty much.
So
yeah.
Morally, that's kind of one of the areas where I draw the line, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I do find the film very funny, a lot of it, but
I'm not getting my high horse, by the way. I'm just saying, yeah.
No, I mean, those bits, they do go on for a very, very long time. It doesn't appear to be a lot of point to them other than to, well, I was going to say titillate, but could anyone really find this titillating? I find it hard to believe.
Exactly. That's kind of my point. I'm like, what am I? Is this meant to be sexual or you know, I think it's meant to be, but it really isn't.
Yeah, it's for a film with a lot of nudity in it. It is very unsexy.
Yeah,
really, really unsexy.
But the other element. With the whole the beast himself, like initially they're talking about it as this grand Nazi experiment. We're going to
of course
conquered races and make them beasts of burden who will just basically fuck to breed and then work as our slaves. And then they reveal the beast and it's just a hairy dwarf who's got a unibrow and and sort of has sex with people, but as you've said before, there's this thing about Italian films where the women are always naked and most of the time the men are fully dressed. The beast is naked, but I don't think you ever see his penis. You see other men's penises when they're being tortured, but not him. There's a weird sort of like compromise where they're like, we won't show too much naked flesh in this rape scene.
Yeah, it's all, just quite... Yeah, quite bizarre. And then you're right. I mean, in all these kind of Italian exploitation films, it's not just Nazi exploitation films. There seems to be this thing where women completely naked, men no nudity whatsoever. They've just got their trousers on. They got all their clothes on and meant to be having sex.
A brilliant scene earlier on where the condom or somebody's having sex with, I'm guessing she's a prostitute and an informant. Yeah. She's the one that ends up double crossing.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's riding him, and we were both like, he still has his trousers on. So is she just dry humping him? I mean, where's this going? I think that might be a legal thing, like in Italy or in censorship laws, you couldn't show an erect penis or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just because basically these films are made for a heterosexual male audience,
pretty
and they're
much,
just like,
yeah.
Show some tits. Well, no, nobody
do
wants
you
see to
see a lot
penis.
Of dick and balls in this.
You do see a lot of dick and balls, though.
But not his dick and balls.
Not his particular dick and balls.
Yeah.
Just in the weird torture scenes where people are being... That bit where the guy's been, as we said, he's being dunked in the water.
Yeah.
But his cock and balls are basically in...
Just right in full view of the camera.
Eye line, and you're just like, I don't want to see that.
Fuck. Oh, dear.
I thought we digressed. Where were we?
Yeah, no, where were we? Yeah, so this film is very bad. It's a very badly made film. It's very badly shot. It's not very well framed. There's a lot of zooms. I mean, it's an Italian exploitation
film.
The
zooms are great. They're like, he's the guy that sticks a knife in the rock and then zoom on the knife.
Yeah.
And then move on.
It's not quite Umberto Lenzi kind of level of like zooming like a million times a film, but yeah, it's you do get a lot of those.
That's a good comparison.
So as I mentioned, sort of while watching the film, doesn't appear to be that much of an effects budget. It's one of those films where people get shot and they fall over in a hysterical way. It's great.
What they lack in blood, they make up for in theatrical falling to the ground. People like. It's almost like silent movie deaths.
People really are just
very floundering their arms and legs in the air when they get shot.
There's an old woman who gets shot, and her death is meant to be upsetting, but I laughed. I'm not going to lie. This film's really, really bad taste. After that, there's a scene where a baby gets shot, but it basically gets flung up in the air and shot in midair, like he's doing fucking, what, clay pigeon shooting?
So much inappropriate shit happens in this film that I forget things. And I forgot about that baby. They don't just get... You know, you gather they're going to kill the baby, but the way they do it, as you say, they throw it in the air, and as you say, it's like clay pigeon shooting. And you're like, what the fuck?
Oh, God. Yeah. There's the infamous scene that anyone who knows anything about this film, there's two scenes that people always quote. There's a scene where there's a car with a really shit Nazi flag on the front. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really bad Nazi flags in this. So he's triangular.
It's not a good Nazi exploitation film if you don't have flags. Yeah. In every shot.
Yeah, there's this car that drives up to the front of the base, and there's this giant red swastika right at the front of the base. It's like,
makes no sense. Makes no sense, because any war film, serious or otherwise, I've seen, you know, the Nazis will have flags draping out the windows, perhaps, but they wouldn't have this big, like, plastic swastika in the middle of the drive. But Greg, sorry.
Oh no! It's just the ridiculousness of it. It's just I never thought of this, because I'm not gonna lie. I've seen this film about two or three times, and like I've never considered it from a strategic perspective. It makes no sense to have a giant swastika at the front of your base.
Yeah,
it's like a video game.
It is like, you know. It reminded me of the Statue Park level in GoldenEye. Random statues, yes. Just there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I haven't played GoldenEye in a very, very long time. But yeah, I do see what you mean, actually. Yeah. But anyway, they're driving up to the front, and this giant red swastika, like, how they've shot the scene makes literally no sense whatsoever. But it's shot in a way where the light is behind the camera, and you can see the shadow of the cameraman and, like, probably the director in the background as the car's walking past. It's right in the front of the shot, and you can't miss it.
Clear as fucking crystal.
I'm like, what? Why didn't they reshoot this?
As I said at the time, I felt they just couldn't be bothered.
Probably.
They probably thought, ah, fuck it.
It's just like, it's the Ed Wood thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's like,
One take. That'll do.
Great, done. Next. Don't care.
This film's not going to win any Oscars. It's Beast and Heat. No one's going to care. What's weird about that shot as well is you don't even see that red swastika in all its glory. So they could have easily just have taken it out and put it in the next scene. But they went, no, we put it there now.
No, it's true. There's an explosion that takes place right near the beginning, which looks really, really shit and fake. There's a model plane, which is a kind of...
The model plane.
Yeah, which turns up about two or three times near the end, which is meant to be like a bomber plane, but it's clearly a model that they've done some kind of shit stop-motion animation with.
It's almost
it's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah, you used to get those little model planes that you could attach to like a ceiling fan. It was just going round in circles.
So bad. And then, there's the bit that everyone knows. It's the bit with the guinea pigs. So
the guinea pigs, that's my favourite bit.
Yeah, so there's this infamous torture. I don't know if it's medieval, maybe you know
I
more about
it. I believe it's medieval.
Me.
I remember hearing about it in the London Dungeon.
There you go. Go to the London Dungeon, everyone. You learn about these things.
Yeah.
Basically, the idea is that you got these rats and you put a bucket or something over the rats and you heat it, and to escape, they have to eat through... Well, flesh, whatever, to try and get
stomach,
out.
The stomach, you know, put it in your stomach. Yeah.
So it makes sense. It's pretty, on paper, it sounds like a pretty violent thing to do. Mm-hmm. But what ruins it is in this film, why they couldn't use real rats, I don't know. They've taken two guinea pigs, painted them black, and put them on the woman's stomach. And it's like, clearly guinea pigs, they're not threatening in the slightest. They're very happy and very cheerful to be there.
Guinea pigs, they're just sitting there.
And one of them falls off.
I'm not even sure it falls off. I think it just walks off. Like, it's bored.
Like, fuck this. Yeah. Oh my god,
that's brilliant! And of course, you missed out your favourite bit, Greg.
Ooh.
The forward roll.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah. So there are many, many battle. Well, there's like two big kind of shootout scenes in this film, and what the I don't know what film they've taken this footage from, but what they've done is they've spliced in footage from another film with a bigger budget.
Yeah,
let's put it that way. They've done that and spliced it into the film. It's hilarious. It's like, it's so blatant.
And it's very obvious because it's even like a different tone. I always think it's slightly redder when it's the other film.
Yeah, it's clearly like a different film stock. It's different colour grading, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's clearly a film footage from a different film altogether. They spliced into this one. They're these long battles with these partisans against the Nazis. And the first one takes place for 5 minutes. Like, on the other show, like, one of the gimmicks we use is, like, the body count. It's not my idea, everybody. But, like, basically, they, you know, trying to count, like, number of people dying in a scene like that is just impossible. Because all these people are, like, dying. There's no blood. It's all these people just throwing themselves here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
And it goes on for 5 minutes. And it's just random, just, yeah, violence, essentially. Well,
it's a war movie. It's a battle sequence. You know, it's very hard to keep up.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, as you mentioned, in this scene is like honestly one of my favourite things in this film. It happens more than once actually in the film. One character, like, is trying to get a gun, and instead of diving for the gun, like, in a normal way, he does a really, 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 like, overly elaborate forward roll just in the middle of this battle. It's just, oh my god, it's amazing.
There's a couple of similar moments where there'll be an explosion and people don't just jump out the way, they theatrically like throw themselves sideways or almost do a somersault, or there'll be an explosion, people will jump towards the explosion. But yeah, that role is something impressive.
Yeah,
and it's a bit like when we were saying earlier, when people get shot and they fall down, it's almost like people have decided, this is my moment. The director told me just to fall down, but I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to get noticed. I'm going to do a forward roll and pick up that gun.
Yeah, it's not just a moment. It's a perfect moment to do it. Yeah, oh, God. And, yeah, there's two battles. There's that battle and the battle near the end. And I'm kind of torn because they are very funny.
Yes.
But the bits with the... All right, I say, obviously, the film's shit. I'm just... Yes. You know, there's no, like, trying to hide this. The film is really shit. But... the bits, at least, with the Beast and Dr. Crouch and, you know, all the Nazi stuff, that's at least bad taste, kind of interesting. All the bits with the Partisans, for the most part, are really boring, unfortunately. Yeah. One of the issues I've got with the Partisans is you've got the sort of the Greek guy, who's like the older guy who I think is meant to be the leader. And then you've got the main character, who looks like Charles Bronson.
Oh, yeah.
And they've both got really impressive tashes. And you've got all these other random partisans, like, apart from our guy who hasn't been dubbed very well, and sounds like that.
Western partisan.
And there's all the other characters, and it's just like, I don't know, it's complaining about characterization in a film like The Beast in Heat is a moot point, admittedly, but it's like...
But you want to not
I don't care about who's people. Who. Yeah, exactly. And there's this all these subplots that don't really make any sense the first time that it didn't make sense to me anyway the first time I watched it. Like, there's like one of the women like double crosses them, but it's not clear why she double crosses them.
Is that the blonde one?
Yeah
she's the one who's dry humping the colonel or whatever at the beginning.
Yeah,
and it took me a while to figure out as well, but I think she's pretending to collaborate with the Germans in order to get information and helps the partisans, but the partisans don't trust her. Same with the priest. The partisans don't trust the priest, even though all he does is help them. So nobody's motivation or the reason why they suspect people in this film make any real sense. It's just almost like conversation just for its own sake.
Yeah, and that kind of bogged the film down. Mm. Like I said, look, the film's not good anyway, but... if you're going to, you know, the worst thing you can do when you're a film is be boring or not interesting. And they're just not interesting at all.
Thing is, with the whole Nazi exploitation subgenre, most of the time, what these things are trying to present is, you know, evil Nazis performing these
sadistic experiments. And when it does that in the film, it's a proper Nazi exploitation film.
Yeah.
Partisan stuff, as we said before, they're trying to have a war movie and an exploitation Nazi movie, and the two don't sync very well. So
no.
When you see modern day references to Nazi exploitation films, take Rob Zombie's little mini trailer for Werewolf in the SS. That's very much a tick list or a love letter to films like Ilsa and the experiment elements in this film. But the Partisans thing is so just stuck onto the side, like a ill-fitting side panel, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with these films, I mean, we said this on The Lament Configuration as well. Like, apart from Ilsa, all the experiments don't seem to have a purpose. I mean, particularly in this film, like, I've no idea, like, what the fuck the purpose of turning this man into, like, some randy beast man is meant to be doing at all.
All I gather from the purpose is what they said at the beginning about, okay, so we're going to create a race of obedient slaves. So they're going to be dumb, and they'll be good at is breeding and working. So I think that's what they're trying to create.
Right.
That being said, like I said, Dr. whatever her name is.
Crouch, yeah.
Dr. Crouch is always getting her rocks off anyway, which bears no understanding, as far as I'm aware, of anything to do with like medical practice. When she wants to get laid, she just starts touching people up. Watching they watch the beast rape people as if they're getting any scientific knowledge from watching it.
Yeah.
And then the random tortures that happen, which are, when I say random, I mean not only are the purpose to the tortures random, the tortures themselves are just random different types of torture.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you actually a scientist? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it's quite funny because, like, literally the very, very opening scene of the film is where they have the discussion about this is wrong. Like,
there has to be an
opposing doctor who only appears in that scene, by the way.
Yeah, mini philosophical conversation. As we said, like, do doctors normally have these mini philosophical conversations just at the beginning of the experiment? Or in this case, what's brilliant is the beast has already been created and this doctor chooses now to speak up and go, I don't think this is such a good idea. It's a bit late.
I oppose these experiments that apparently they've been doing for ages, and all of a sudden he's like,
I have an issue with this.
In no emotion whatsoever on his face, is like, yeah, I don't agree. And yeah, it's just so inconsistent because, at the start of the film, they're trying to create this beast.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is just a hairy bloke.
Yeah, some short hairy bloke. And then, I don't know, like, she just talks to other Nazis for a bit. And then it's like, well, we want to know where these partisans are. So I think the torture is meant to be kind of torturing like the locals to find out where the partisans are.
Yeah.
And it almost becomes like part of that whole side plot, which is why you've got a woman with electrodes on her vagina, as you do, that well-known torture. Yeah. Or the bloke being dunked upside down into like a trough. Or the woman, there was a woman on like a fucking, you know, the circus, like the knife thrower.
Yeah.
She was tied to something like that and she had random blood all over.
She'd already been tortured. We don't even know what happened to her.
Yeah. Or the guinea pigs, as we already mentioned. Okay.
So those partisan tortures happen in the same location as where the beast is kept in the cage. So in my mind, I'm like, so is this still the lab that the scientist is using and they're so short on space that they have to torture the partisans in the same location, in the lab? Because if they're not experiments, then that's all that's happening there. And you have to agree, it is weird that they've hired this scientist who's clearly busy creating a race of slaves. She's clearly busy doing that, but they've called her in to help with partisans. Like, why would a scientist... Would you call a scientist in to help with knife crime in London? No. So why would the Nazis use a scientist to kind of hunt down partisans in the forest?
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, yeah.
I know it doesn't matter, because it's only a silly little B-movie from the 70s, and it's Nazi exploitation. But even by the low standards, other Nazi exploitation films makes sense. Ilsa, as you say, SS experiment. Oh, Gestapo's last orgy, and even at SS experiment camp.
This experiment kind of makes sense.
You know, they do the whole thing about testing them for heat, cold in that one, which is an experiment the Nazis actually did.
Yeah.
So some of it makes sense, but this film doesn't even bother to make sense. Make the limited sense that most of the films try.
No, it really doesn't. Not at all.
But it was enjoyable watching it again.
Great. Yeah. I've got to say, overall, I mean, just summing it up, I mean, like we said, it is very, very bad taste in places. The story is kind of hard to follow with the partisans. And they, I don't know, it just all felt very padded on. There are far too many random deaths. But to me, it's kind of like a so bad it's good movie. It's just, I can enjoy it in spite of its shitness. Like, that's why I've chosen it for this show, as opposed to like other video nasties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, I get a very perverse enjoyment out of it. Apart from the rapey stuff, obviously. Yeah, the rapey stuff's not enjoyable.
Apart from the obvious stuff, I think that it's an interesting choice, because I think the reason why I hate it so much is because of the, as you say, the rapey stuff, and therefore I find it hard to enjoy it. That being said, I've enjoyed watching it this time round.
It's watching it with me, mate. That's what it is.
Watching it with you, mate. We've made a great date movie. What I find watching this time round that I didn't really bother with other times is, like, for me, it's not a question of it's so bad, it's good. It's so bad, it's bad. Other times I've watched it, I have not had the same enjoyment.
No.
But watching it with somebody else, maybe this will come into the date aspect, pointing out the forward roll and the guinea pig silliness and this silliness and the big red swastika and the shadow, that kind of pointing out the errors surpasses the film. That ends up being the entertaining aspect rather than the film, which I guess you get with a lot of cult B movies like Troll 2 in the Room and stuff. That's kind of the fun. So potentially that's what it's got going for it. It's definitely not a good solo movie to watch.
No, although having said that, the other times I watched it, I was by myself and I still kind of enjoyed it for what it is. It's the same thing like Rhea, I mean, from what I remember of the show, her experience was, it's like, the sexual violence, don't like that really at all. But there's enough in there which is just so patently ridiculous. Like the guinea pigs, for example, that it's just like you cannot possibly take this film seriously.
The partisan who's hiding from the Germans, and he goes to surrender, and his mum knocks him out of the frying pan, and it's not meant to be funny, but it's like, seriously, is comedy gold.
My favorite thing we haven't talked about is there's a priest in the film, and he does have the immortal line. I'm gonna see if I can find it in my notes.
Priest who takes on about five hardened Nazis.
One at a time.
They don't jump them all at the same time. He just punches them all one by one.
Oh god, yeah, it's so fucking stupid. Yeah, he's man of the cloth, and he manages to fight off five Nazi soldiers by himself.
Five Wehrmacht soldiers.
By himself.
With his fists.
Yeah, here we go. I found it. It's like, the Lord won't betray you, he's the best.
Yeah, he's the best.
Which is
great line. The way they dub it is like, he's the best. He's great. I love God. He's so cool. That's how he talks about him. He's the best.
Yeah. I think the story of the film is meant to be about the futility of war, but really that's not what I got out of it.
I got about the futility of filmmaking. That's what I got out of this.
Yes. So if I was rating this film out of 5, it's not a good film. I find it enjoyable as a bad movie, so I can't say it's like a 1. It's a 2 out of 5, because it's clearly bad, and it's bad in hilarious ways, and there's enough kind of stuff which is so outrageous and just horrendously shit that I find it entertaining. So, yeah, I would give it a 2 out of 5 in that regard.
Is 0 an option, or is 1 the minimal?
Oh, come on, it can't be that fucking bad.
I'm assuming that our range is literally 1 to 5.
Yeah, sorry.
Prior to watching it today, I would have given it a 1. I think I'd give it a 2, because it's a lot more fun
won you over
watching
again.
It, and then you can, with somebody else.
Yeah.
And then having that experience that I would normally watch with a film, like I said, with Troll 2 or something.
Yeah.
I would not normally apply that way of watching a film with this, but now that I have, I've enjoyed it a lot more. So it's bumped it up to a 2.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I had much more fun watching this than the Human Centipede 3, which was just boring as all shit, as we mentioned. Hey, you know, if you want to hear my full thoughts on the Human Centipede 1, 2 and 3, listen to the episode when we talked about that. Now, this is the interesting one. As a date movie, so 1 is sort of Netflix and chill. I have a feeling it's not going to be a 1 in that regard. 5 is Cannibal Holocaust, obviously. Now, from my regard, I would give this a 4 out of 5. Now, clearly, Nazi exploitation films, you're probably not going to, unless you're with someone who was possibly into that, you're probably not going to watch a film like this on a date. But let's say you did. There are possibly worst films out there that you could choose than this. As I said, it's so bad. Well,
okay, go
Cannibal
on,
Holocaust, for example. Or, well, yeah, there are other films we could mention. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just off the top of my head, something like August Underground would be way worse a choice than this. You could kind of maybe have a bit of a laugh with it if they were of that kind of sense of humour where they would maybe appreciate it because it's so bad that if they didn't take it seriously. Like, I mean, to me, I find it hard to believe anyone could possibly be offended by this unless you were really, really offended by, like, well, you know, rape, fair enough. Okay, I can understand that aspect of it, but like, if you were, like, I don't know, really sensitive about, like, the Nazis and things like that. But yeah, anyway, I'm waffling. A 4 out of 5 on the bad date movie scale from me.
It's a tricky one. Okay. I mean, it's not it's not that tricky. It's clearly going to be a 4 or 5 in terms of how bad it is.
Yeah.
If I was to say a 5, obviously, as you say, there are films which are worse than this, but they're almost like 5+.
Right.
There are films which have rape scenes in, things like Last House on the Left and I Spin Your Grave.
Yeah.
Where the rape scenes are horrendous, but they're done in, I don't want to say a respectful way, but in this, they're done almost as if it's as light-hearted as the guinea pigs.
Yeah, it's like a throwaway thing.
Yeah, it's like it's like you can't just do a throwaway rape scene and make it okay. And the scenes go, as we said before, they're going for so long. So that would make me say, not a good date film. Having said that, sitting here with yourself watching it and pointing out, like I said, we had a great date, me and you watching this.
Yes.
That could potentially work in a way that, say, Cannibal Holocaust is a great movie. There's very few occasions where you could point out errors in Cannibal Holocaust. Yeah. Whereas this, it's just errors upon errors.
Yeah.
So you might be able to enjoy it, but rather than giving it the 5 that I would have given it, I'm going to agree with you and say 4. Because of that balance of the rape scenes are horrendous and going for way too long, but there's enough bad filmmaking that when you're just watching the film, it's just horrendous, and therefore horrendous in a good way, like silliness upon bad acting, upon bad filmmaking, upon more silliness.
It's not upsetting, let's put it that way.
No,
at all. Yeah. So,
Paradoxically, I think, if that's the word I want to use, there's other moments where they try and make it
upsetting. It's upsetting. Not at all.
I'm not upsetting. Like, the nails being taken off is, as you say, like, please stop torturing me. So when they're trying to be upsetting, they're not.
Or like the baby being shot.
Yeah.
It's too absurd. Or like the scene with the guy getting hit with the frying pan. Obviously, after that, I assume it's his sister.
Yeah.
Or maybe his girlfriend. I don't know.
I think it's his girlfriend. Yeah.
I mean, she gets raped off screen by like sort of Nazi officer, and then she's dispatched by being shot in an area of the body that you probably don't want to get shot. Now, you're not likely to die being shot in that part of your body, but still, it's like he's pointing a gun at her pubes. There's no way you could possibly take that seriously.
When it attempts to be serious, it's laughable.
Yes. So, for a Nazi exploitation film, I'd say, I mean, it is a bit boring in places, but compared to others, let's put it this way, it's a lot more entertaining. It's a bit of a laugh riot, not one to be taken seriously. Probably not a good date movie, I would say.
This has ups and downs, whereas something like Love Camp 7 is consistently boring. So at least has its moments.
It doesn't have the Commandant, though. I would love the Commandant from Love Camp 7. Love Camp 7. Yeah, love that guy. But yeah, the film's boring as all fuck. Now, if you wanted to own this on DVD, obviously it's not available on Blu-ray, although someone like Vinegar Syndrome wouldn't surprise me if they released this eventually. Mm-hmm. Now, if you own Region 1, so you're in America or that sort of similar part of the world, it is available from a company called Exploitation Digital as SS Hellcamp. Now, if you're Region 2, which is UK, Europe, etc., it's available from Another World Entertainment. Now, apparently you can buy this as an individual DVD, but you can also buy it in a box set with other similar films, can't you, Tom?
Yes, you can. I highly recommend that box set. It's got brilliant artwork.
It does have really brilliant artwork. Yeah, I agree. You say
it's all written in Italian on the back.
Yeah.
You get the general gist.
Yeah, so that's with Gestapo's Last Orgy, SS Experiment Camp, and another like SS Love Camp 9 or something random like that.
I don't know. I get the names.
It's not a video nasty, but it's another Nazi exploitation. Yeah. But they're all very similar. So if you did want to own multiple films like this, and let's face it, apart from SS Experiment Camp, they're all pretty hard to find.
That box set is a good find because it has some of the main ones. It's a good collective thing. I wouldn't bother buying those ones individually.
Yes. No, probably not. No. Cool. So this has been the Worst Date Movies Ever. I've been joined once again by Tom Dennett Cook.
Thank you, I guess.
resident war expert. I definitely need your expertise on this series, definitely coming forward.
Thank you.
As I said at the start of the show, if you have any suggestions for any films that you feel could be one of the worst date movies ever, please hit me up on Twitter at Worst Date Movies. And I will see you on the very next show for more The Worst Date Movies Ever.